Blog Talk Radio.
Watch over us as you have
until this hour, and keep us safe during the night. Lord, be present and carry out your will wherever there is a misfortune, Lord. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Okay, let's get into some praise and worship music.
ominously towering, it stood, the symbol of a spirit war between the one named Lucifer and the Morning Star, the ultimate of good. Enveloped by a trillion planets, clean as lightning and hard as granite, a cosmic coliseum would host the end of the war between the Lord of sin and death and the omnipotent creator of man's first breath, who will decide who forever will be the champion.
Then the father looked at his own
devils roared in victory. The saints, shocked and perplexed, as wounds appeared upon his hands and feet. Then Satan kicked him in his side, and blood and water flowed. And they waited for the 10 count of defeat. God the Father turned his head, his tears announcing Christ was dead. The 10 count would proclaim the battle's end. Then Satan trembled through his sweat in unexpected horror. Yet, as God started to count by saying,
the pace car. I had think this one was a Chevy Camaro with a 426 horsepower and 6.21 V8 engine. The interesting thing about this pace car was that it had a specifically designed strobe light system so that every race car, even those in the back, could see it clearly no matter where it was located on the track. The pace car does just that. It sets the pace. But not at the beginning of the race. If there's an emergency, an accident, or dangerous conditions on the track, the pace car will immediately pull out in front of the leading race car and will flash its lights to slow everyone down until the emergency is over and it's safe to proceed. Whenever the car came out, all of a sudden every single race car was slowed down and moving behind. It was amazing to see all those cars lined up like a bunch of baby ducks waddling after their mama. Some of the greatest names in racing were there that day. And those cars worth hundreds of thousands of dollars could outrun that Camaro without trying. Yet every one of them submitted to the direction and guidance of the pace car. If this daring and thrill-seeking drivers had enough sense to follow up pace car, why is it that we as Christians can't seem to follow the Good Shepherd? He is not watching out for us. Okay? Does he not already know what troubles and challenges we face? Has he not promised to care for your every need? Remember who is in charge. He makes me. Don't forget verse 1 of this chapter. The Lord is my shepherd. This is Jehovah, the God of our past, present, and future. He is our shepherd. A shepherd loves, leads, protects, and feeds. But he is our shepherd. We must recognize that we are the sheep, and the sheep should follow the shepherd. We need to remember who's in charge. I'm always amazed at how the Word of God can communicate with a simple phrase or a few words. He makes me who is in charge here. The truth is, we don't like anyone making us do anything. We want to be in control and to be in charge. David says, he makes me lie down, because he knew that sheep are not particularly cooperative, and we are the same way. We want to be in charge of our lives instead of letting God take control. We don't recognize that he has brought us to a place where we can relax and trust him to meet our needs. Have you ever tried to make a two-year-old do something he doesn't want to do? We've been in the toddler phase in our house for about over a decade now. There's just something about two-year-olds. They're old enough to walk, talk, and have an opinion about everything, and they hardly ever do what you want them to do. One of their favorite phrases is, "You can't make me." Now, one doesn't come up at our house as much. If it does, it only happens once per child. But I will say that sometimes it's difficult to get the children just to lay down and go to sleep. Think about it. How can you force a child to rest, to lay down, to go to sleep? It's not easy. Just like sheep and just like toddlers, we often forget who's in charge. Sometimes we look up to heaven and say, "You can't make me." But God could easily make us do anything. He wants, we need to remember that God is in charge. He is the shepherd and we are the sheep. We should follow his loving guidance and rest in his provision. Relinquish control. Lie down in green pastures. Not only do we need to remember who's in charge, but we need to relinquish control. The belief that you are in control is just an illusion anyway. You might as well go ahead and admit it. Almost everything in life is out of your control. So we need to listen to the shepherd and lie down in green pastures. Philip Keller is a pastor in Arthur, who for 8 years was himself a shepherd. Out of that experience, he has written A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It throws light on this and the other statements. Sheep do not lie down easily, Keller says. In fact, it is almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fear. Because of social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others of their kind. It is tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when free of these pests can they relax. Lastly, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. They must be free from hunger, fear, friction, frustration, food. Sheep must be free from each of these to be contented. And Keller notes, only a shepherd can provide the trust, Peace delivers in pasture that is needed to free the sheep from them. Just like sheep, we struggle with fear. Every little storm gets us all worked up. We can't rest. We struggle with friction. We experience so much stress in life. It's almost always relational. Okay, conflicts at home, at work, at school, or at our church. We struggle with frustrations, small little irritations that become big issues in our lives, and we struggle with food. Now, I'm not talking about that Big Mac you scarfed down at lunch yesterday or the pizza you ate all by yourself. One of the major issues people face today is spiritual emptiness. Their spiritual hunger is never satisfied. We must trust the Good Shepherd to lead us. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Only the shepherd can satisfy our needs. It is interesting that Psalms begins at this point. We might expect it to begin with emotion, some kind of activity, either by the shepherd or the sheep. But strikingly, it begins with rest. It is a reminder that Christian life also begins with resting in God, our Christ. Along the way, there will be time, be many things for us to do, but we begin by resting in Him who has done everything for us and are resting in Christ. Have you found Jesus to be the perfect provider of all your many needs? He leads me. The word translated lead here means to lead gently. You cannot drive sheep. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice and follow him just as we listen to Christ and his word and obey him. Jesus Christ is our gentle shepherd who loves us and leads us according to his plans and purposes. What an amazing and incredible truth that God desires to lead us through the pastures of this life. But if he leads me, it means that I don't follow my own path or plan. If he leads me, I'm not simply interested in my wants or my wishes. I must choose to rely on my priorities with the Good Shepherd and follow his will and purpose. If the sheep are not led properly, they will wander about aimlessly. They will walk in their own destruction. Okay, they will stumble into their own doom. They must be led by a loving shepherd. Of course, there is always a percentage of perverse people who will refuse to allow God to lead them. They insist on running their own lives and following the dictates of their own wills. They insist they can be masters of their own destinies, even if ultimately such destinies are destructive. They don't want to be directed by the Spirit of God. They want to walk in their own ways and drink from any old source they fancy might satisfy their whims. See, when sheep are thirsty, they become restless and set out in search of water to satisfy the thirst. If not led to good water, supplies of clean, pure water, they will often end up drinking from polluted potholes where they pick up parasites and diseases. In the same manner, Christ, our good shepherd, made it clear that thirsty souls of men and women can only be fully satisfied when their capacity and thirst for spiritual life is fully quenched by drawing on himself. Okay, still waters. David says that our good shepherd will lead us beside still waters. The literal translation of that phrase is waters of rest. Doesn't that just sound incredible? It paints a picture of peace and tranquility. Through the years, I have heard some people interpret that to mean these were waters that did not flow or move. Others have suggested they shall not drink from running water. Well, let me tell you, if sheep are thirsty enough, they will drink from almost anything. The emphasis here is that our shepherd leads us to a restful and a fulfilling place. One other important thing to notice here is that David uses the plural form of water. He says, waters. When you were thirsty, you might ask, can you please bring me a glass of water? Or a hot summer day, you might suggest, let's go for a swim in the water. You wouldn't use the plural form waters in those situations. So why is it used here? David is saying that the shepherd will lead you repeatedly over and over again to places where the water is restful. He does not provide for you just one time. Every single time you allow the Lord to lead you, he will guide you beside waters of rest where your needs are met. We need to learn to follow the Good Shepherd to a place where we can recover from our weariness, and we get fatigued in life, emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And we need to follow Jesus to the still waters, the waters of rest. But sadly, we settle for our mud puddles when the world has to offer. Philip Keller says, "They remind me very much of a bunch of sheep. I watched one day which were being led down to a magnificent mountain stream. The snow-fed waters were flowing pure and clear and crystal clean between lovely banks and trees. But on the way, several stubborn ewes and lambs stopped instead to drink from small, dirty mud pools beside the trail. The water was filthy and polluted, not only with the churned up mud from the passing sheep, but even the manure and urine of previous flocks that had passed that way. Still, these stubborn sheep were quite sure that it was the best drinkable obtainable." Okay? So the sad reality is that people are thirsty for God. They have a deep inner thirst for the truth and righteousness, but instead of letting God lead them to still waters, they settle for dirty pools of this world. Several years ago, Ring Magazine, the well-known publication of the boxing world, published a story about one of the most unusual events in boxing history. We've all seen athletes on television getting pumped up to compete against their opponents. Some trash talk, boast all their skills. Others may gesture wildly, pound their chests, or bounce around in an attempt to get their adrenaline pumping. But on this particular occasion, the contender was a little too good at his warm-up routine. He was so intent on psyching himself into a fighting mood that he punched himself in the face. The first self-inflicted blow cracked his jaw. The second broke his nose and rendered him unconscious. The unfortunate boxer was carried away on a stretcher before his opponent ever stepped into the ring. There was an important lesson from this true story. Many times it's not what the other guy does that will knock you out. It's often what you do to yourself that can inflict the greatest damage. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, help us to be holy as you are holy, and free us from all the earthly things that try to torment us, Lord. Grant us your spirit so that we do what is right, Lord. May we always hold your hand confidently, Lord. Protect your children everywhere on earth and help them do what is right, even if the whole world does what is wrong. Help us so that we all we do becomes holy and pleasing in your sight. Let your grace grow among us and among the nations, and let your hand be strong to bring in your day when everything is made new, Lord. May your name be kept holy, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, now this is going to give you an invitation, okay? If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can do so in just a moment. But let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road, never knowing which way to go, which way is up or down? Or maybe you're lacking purpose in your life and you need some. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something much worse, such as addiction to alcohol or drugs. Okay, sexual morality, gambling, overeating, whatever it may be, the Lord can take it away. But in order to do so, he has to know you. If he doesn't know you, he can't do nothing for you. So, the question is, do you want to get to know the Lord God, Jesus Christ tonight? And so, simply say this simple prayer after me. Say, "Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins, and I am now willing to turn from my sin. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9, that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul with my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to His Word, right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your limited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you that Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So once again, I want to say thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you pray or receive Christ? Please give us your name so we can pray for you. And if you said this prayer, we welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may He always keep you highly favored. Amen. Okay, if you said this prayer, we would like you to call in to area code 657-383-1487. That's area code 657-383-1487. And say that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Okay? Because right now the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and all the angels and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So won't you let us rejoice with them? Amen. All right. Well, let's play some more music. Okay, while we wait for people to call in, okay, to say they accept the Lord Jesus Christ. All right.
and I'll never be the same. He changed me. I'll never be the same. He changed me. I'll never be the same. He changed me. I'll
never
be the same. He changed
me.
I'll never be the same. He changed
me.
I'll never.
He changed me.
I'll never
ever
just the church. Come on, take it.
All right. Well, let's get into the prophetic word for today. The Father says today, you are mine and I am yours. Receive the love by which I love you. Run to me, for my arms are spread wide to receive you. There is no other claimant to your love or affection I will endure. I am a jealous God. I am jealous of your love, and I am jealous of your attention. I will woo you with my love. I will draw you away from the shallows of human experience into the depths of my spirit. Hear this day my still small voice. I am drawing behind the last of physicality into the reality of eternity with me. Eternity, says God, is now experienced. You can know and be immersed in this very moment. Open your heart and your mind to all that I am making known to you in my heart. Bury your face into my bosom and feel my arms around you, holding you safe, holding you secure from all outward threats. Come to me, says God. Come to me, for I am beckoning you this day. I call to you softly. Come away, my beloved. Come away from things mundane and common. Reject the profane vanities of earthly things. I am yours. You are mine. We are one. The heart of the bridegroom bids you to come. Come clothed in the gossamer and lace and garments made white in the blood of the Lamb. See the depth and truth of my love. Experience my now presence that lifts you up and causes you to know that you are not an accident. Your existence is not a happenstance of human biology. I formed you when you were in your mother's womb and brought you into the earth for one thing, to have intimate experience of my love, to know and to be known as the pupil of my eye and the object of my affection. This is the love wherewith I love you. This is the heart that envelops you now and carries you forward through all that is day holds for you, says God. Amen. Well, this prophetic word goes out to those who need it most, and you know who you are. Amen. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to say good night and God bless. Okay. I hope you enjoyed the sermon. I hope it fills your life, okay, with joy. And God bless everybody. Don't forget that we are off on Mondays. We do not have a show on Monday night, but we will be back on Tuesday for an episode of Purpose Gospel Radio. Okay, so see you all on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. God bless and good night.